Jessica Smith.
And this is hashtag Facts Matter. Thanks for joining us again.
I don't, what episode are we on? Eight?
Nine? I think we're on like episode 7 or 8. I kind of lost track. So in our Google Drive, I named it Stigma episode. So guess what? We're talking about stigma today.
That's a big one.
It is. So we're probably going to go over a half an hour. It's okay. If you don't have more than a half an hour, listen to it in a couple segments. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good one.
It is. And we also have a number of community updates and program updates and just your regular ridiculousness from us. So thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start with some of the things that have happened since the last time we talked. It's been a little bit, probably 6+ weeks, but it's because there's been a lot going on. We had our yearly volunteer staff support thank you picnic, and we had it at Sequoia Park as always, and it was super great. Mm-hmm. Every year they just keep getting better and better. We gave out 8 acknowledgement awards this year to community partners, to our doctor, to volunteers, to students. It's just a really great time for us and our supporters all to get together and not really worry about what's going on out there. I think there was some squirrely stuff that happened way out on the corner by some scraggly-ass folks. But it didn't impact us, nor could we even really see them from where we were because, well, 3 scraggly-ass people don't really make a big deal to us. So we had an amazing time, and we loved all the people that we love. And so it was great.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And the sun came out. It was really nice. We had delicious food catered, some cotton candy making, which was interesting.
Yeah, and face painting.
Yeah.
Tie-dyeing.
Mm-hmm. And really, folks, you know, our supporters and friends and volunteers, they represent a lot of different segments of the community. So a lot of other organizations and institutions and places in the community were represented that day by the folks who came and celebrated with us. So yeah, it was a really great turnout, maybe like 40 to 50 people. And there was lots of crying, which is always good.
It was our best joy. One yet. It was our best one yet.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
So thanks for everyone that helped us make it the best one yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. Let's see. The other really exciting thing, and I want to make sure you hear and understand it from me, and that is that this is my last podcast as executive director of Hatcher. I will be staying on the podcast, but it has always been my plan to build this thing and get all of the pieces of my vision at least started, and then to step aside, because when you do something right, you should be able to step aside and let it flourish even more. And so it's been 5 years, and we've had amazing growth. And you know, founder's syndrome is real, and that's where people get real protective and real possessive of their thing, and they don't want anyone to, you know, touch it. But I don't want that to happen, and I want this program to continue to thrive and be successful. And the only reason I can't, there's 2 reasons I can step aside. One is because we have built something strong and solid and amazing. And if it was weak, I wouldn't be able to step aside. So everyone who has made sure that we know where all of our weak spots are, everyone that has given us hell for the past 5 years, I want to thank you. You showed us where our weak spots are. You showed us how to always be one ahead of the strategy. You showed us how to have class in a situation that was meant to take us down. So I want to thank you for making me the powerful advocate that I am, for putting me through this amazing journey for the past 5 years. You have made it so that we are an organization that is known and respected. Well, you didn't make that. We did. You just helped us get there. So thank you. But a bigger thank you to our supporters and our community sponsors, our community partners. It is really them, right? It is all of these things. It is our staff. It is our peers. It is everything that has made us solid and sustainable. And so because of that, Jessica Smith is going to be our new executive director. The only way that I could leave something and feel okay is if I left it to someone as sassy, as smart, and as capable, if not more, than I am, who is not a pushover. She just looks like one, which is really great for us, right? She also has an amazing story around her life and things that she's experienced. And so it is absolutely a united front that we are all supportive and happy that Jessica is our future leader. I'll still be around in periphery. I'll no longer be here, but don't worry. I'm not gone.
She ain't going anywhere.
Oh, I'm going somewhere. I'm not staying in this crazy ass. Anyway, so what else do we have? Oh, Jessica has a thing.
We have some things. So I'm obviously really excited to move into this new position. I'm really excited to work with folks in the community and collaborate and show you just how committed I am to this program and to the people that I serve and people who use drugs and advocating for their rights and their dignity and empowering them, because that's what Hatcher always has been and always will be about, first and foremost. So just throwing that out there in case anyone's getting some ideas about how they want to make this program, because I have my own plans. Thank you. I also sit on the board of directors for AHA. They are Affordable Homeless Housing Alternatives, another fantastic nonprofit with sassy folks doing some really important work in the area. And we received a grant from the county HEAP funding to have a mobile shower unit. Woo! Holy crap, total game changer. There is research and data that supports when folks can take care of their basic needs, can have proper hygiene, can use a fucking bathroom, their life becomes so much better. There are opportunities for finding housing, for finding a job, for just walking into a building without someone stigmatizing them is increased dramatically. So we're hoping that this mobile shower unit will be up and running maybe in August. We're in the process of ordering it and getting everything together. We are going to need volunteers to help make this a reality. We're planning on doing it 2 days a week. And it's mobile, so it can go pretty much anywhere and everywhere. We're hoping to expand it to all sorts of different areas of Humboldt County. We're sort of based in Eureka, so it will obviously happen in Eureka, but we know McKinleyville, Arcata, Soham, Eastern Humboldt, there are folks experiencing homelessness and who need these services all over. So, if you're interested, you can search AHA on Facebook. You can come to our General Assemblies, which is the first Saturday of every month at the Labor Temple on E Street. It starts at 11:30. And yeah, get more involved. Tell your friends if you are a service provider that work with folks who are unhoused. Please let them know that this wonderful, wonderful thing is coming soon. And we can't wait for everybody to use it. It is going to be ADA accessible. There's toilets too, so showers and bathrooms. And there'll be services on site. We're hoping to find people who can provide haircuts and different like nail care and clothing and food and all the things. So
woo.
Yes.
That's so good, and I'm so happy that it's a community-based organization that's doing it.
Mm-hmm. So, we are going to start off by talking about stigma, basic sort of what it is, how it works. It's obviously a big deal in the work that we do, and it definitely negatively impacts the folks that we serve and us, and everybody. So
real hard,
real bad, real bad. So we have a sort of good definition here that says stigma is a social process which can reinforce relations of power and control. It can lead to status loss and discrimination for the stigmatized.
That's by Link and Phelan, and we got that from a stigma training from Harm Reduction Coalition.
Shout out HRC.
Woo!
So stigma really works around assumptions and really just misinformation, right? You have this idea about a certain kind of person, or you know what they do and how that relates to them. And it's none of it's data driven, and it often causes a lot of hysteria. It's no good. We see it a lot with language, right? Language plays a huge role in perpetuating stigmas. We talk about people who use drugs. We use people first language because that's what we're dealing with. We are engaging with and serving and helping people, human beings, right? So stigma really works to dehumanize folks. It's a way that we can otherize and make someone seem less than, so then it's easier for us to just brush them aside and say, shame on you, you're doing this horrible thing, and that's the only thing that you're doing, and that's the only thing that makes up who you are. And so it prevents people from accessing services. It prevents them from having actual like self-esteem and perseverance and this feeling of empowerment when someone just says, you are this thing and I'm going to stigmatize you for it, and you don't deserve something because of that stigma.
It also, stigma also not only affects a person, but a lot of times stigma is used by a system to get BS policies passed. One example of that, of stigma related to drug use and people who use drugs, is cannabis prohibition. So cannabis became illegal back in the 40s because there was a elected that I think he was a senator or a congressman who stood in government session and said that this brown person drug is contaminating our white children. Now, the race stigma involved then stigmatized an entire group of people, and it wasn't informed by data that this entire group of people was then responsible for all of the drug trade and all of these poor white children for using drugs, right? It helped them pass policy that then created a drug war that then targeted disenfranchised people and predominantly people of color and turned them into criminals by spreading stories that were not true, or that there may have been anecdotal evidence. So like one or two examples of it happening, then all of a sudden made it true across the board. That's stigma.
And we see it in our local policies also. We have ordinances here that prevent people from existing, essentially.
Yep.
You can't stand or lay or sit anywhere.
You can't panhandle
for any longer than a couple minutes because of stigma.
But only if you have a backpack and only if you're dirty.
Right.
I can go do any of those things and I won't get jammed up by a cop. Well, I might. Who knows? They are my best friends.
But the general person, right? If you don't look like you're experiencing homelessness, if you don't look like you might use drugs, then yeah, you can go on ahead and just sit and stand and lay on the grass because you're enjoying the beautiful day. But if you're one of those folks who are stigmatized, you can't do that.
Stigma is the story that we make in our heads about someone we don't know by all of the information that's fed to us from the outside world. So we fill in this person's story and make total judgment on who they are, how they live, and their value just by some bullshit that maybe a crap news station made a story about.
Yep. And that's that thing about assumptions too, right? Lumping somebody who does something or all those people into one category. That's where the stigma is. All drug users are this. All people who use drugs or people who experience homelessness do this or are this way.
Or all law enforcement are this way or that way, right? It goes both ways. And, you know, I totally will. I'll cop to that. To being like, oh, cops are like this. However, I diligently work hard to let each one show me different.
Giving people an opportunity to show you that they are a human being. And sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you have a good day.
At the end of the day, you're still a fucking person.
You are a human, and you deserve to have the rights and dignity that all human beings have, and the respect and understanding that, like, hey, I can't judge you because of this one thing. Let me get to know you, and we can actually work through that stigma.
So I think, let's talk about language a little. So Jessica touched on it some, but I think a little bit further. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are taking addiction studies at CR. Well, that's not really how the DSM identifies substance use anymore. It identifies it as substance use disorder. And so addiction is a word that has been used to beat, incarcerate, torment, and create stigma on people who use drugs. And we have said, don't call us that. We aren't a label. We are a person first. So whether or not we are in active use, we many times identify as people who use drugs. Rebel made it to work. Yay! We were missing our buddy. He just got here. So please stop using addict, addiction, and all those other really disgusting words, and use people who use drugs.
I want to make a little note on that too, also for people who engage in sex work, right? Yeah. There is a discussion, even still recently, about what sort of word to use, and prostitute, hooker, whore, those are all words that create stigma. And I do want to say, folks who belong in those communities, who work in those communities, who, you know, are people who use drugs, who are people who engage in sex work, they can use those words all day long. If someone's in recovery and they have always called themselves an addict and they want to do that, that's their prerogative. If someone who engages in sex work wants to call themselves a whore, a prostitute, a slut, that's their thing, and it's a reclamation of that word, right? It's been done in all sorts of different communities based on race, class, gender, all of those things. So if someone is talking with someone in that group and that's their word, by all means use it. But on the outside, you, when you're talking about that thing and about that person, absolutely you have to use people first language. Sorry, puppy. Woo!
Puppy issues.
Yeah, so, you know, start talking with the people first language, and you'll probably get pretty far with folks and have really good conversations, and realize that people doing the work to fight stigma and to fight for rights, they're talking about people first.
Yes. So thanks for hanging in there with that little shenanigans of dog problem. But yeah, now we're going to move on to kinds of stigma. All right, so now we're going to talk about the kinds of stigma around drug use and people who use drugs. And there seems to be this weird idea that public shaming of people experiencing mental health issues, homelessness, chaotic substance use, poverty, all of those things. There seems to be this idea that videoing them, taking pictures of them, sicking some really lame excuse for a news station on them, you know, shoving a microphone in their face, asking them, where do you get your needles? Bullshit like that, right? That kind of crap, all that does is shame people into the shadows so that they don't engage with services, so that they don't create a plan with people who do give a shit about them to get out of that situation or at least become more healthy. Because, you know, we've heard and seen y'all do these really nasty things for a number of years now, and it hasn't changed anything. But we repeatedly, day in and day out, see people change their lives. So we're watching non-stigmatizing, meeting people where they're at, treating them like humans approach. We're watching it work on the daily. There's multiple people now with extended time in recovery. We have people with cures of Hep C, all of these things. That all was possible because we provide a non-stigmatizing, judgment-free place for people to come and talk about their lives with people who understand. And so when stigma prevents people from going in those places, you know, if someone sees you talk about people who use meth all over Facebook, but you're a healthcare provider, you can bet your ass you're not their first call when they're looking to get clean. Oh, let's not use clean either. That's a good bad dichotomy. When they're looking to get out of chaotic substance use, right? You're not going to be their call. And in fact, there's a few places that we specifically do not engage with because of the way they treat people who use drugs. You know, we're not going to refer someone to a program that is known for being a revolving door back to prison. We're not going to do it. So, you know, we hear, because we give a shit, and we're not going to send people to places that is full of stigma, then they're going to fail because every day they wake up feeling like they somehow are still less than when they're trying.
It really is community and connection that improves people's health and well-being, and that will lead them to that less chaotic drug use. Oftentimes it's separation and isolation. You know, a horrible thing happening, like your community turning on you, or your family giving up on you, or you're ending up homeless, that actually starts the chaotic drug use, not the other way around, right? So they're not losing all of those things because of their chaotic drug use. It can go that way, but those traumas, those big things that we think are supposed to help people, that are just supposed to let them hit rock bottom until they just figure it out, it hasn't.
That's why we lost 72,000 people to overdose last year. FYI.
Right.
Let them hit rock bottom. They did. Now they're dead. You can't change from a graveyard.
Exactly. So to, you know, shame folks and say that they are just this thing, you're useless, you're never going to get better, you're not trying hard enough, you're a waste of space. If you heard that over and 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 over again, do you think that you'd want to try to do anything? There's research that shows when people hear those things, when they're treated differently because of a disease, because of something that they're battling, whatever it is, they're less likely to be empowered to make the changes. If they're starting treatment and they're just treated like crap and filled with these ideas that they're not good enough or that someone else is better than them, it's not going to really make them stay in the treatment or the services that they need.
And you know what? This is May. May is Mental Health Month.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that because as we're talking about, you know, we see people on the street and it's assumed that drug use got them there, right? That probably may not be the truth. What if mental health got them there? You know, we see May as Mental Health Month, and we see this March, and I see tons of people that I also see say some of the nastiest shit online. So let's remember that mental health includes substance use. So when you're fighting, you're in, you know, when you show up to mental health things and you are advocating for mental health support, you're advocating that people who use drugs get the mental health support that they need, because that lessens the amount of chaotic drug use that happens. That research shows.
I do want to also say something real quick to the power and importance of people who don't identify as drug users, who want to be helpful and supportful.
Supportful. We have deemed that supportful is a word. That's right.
So as someone who has never been an injection drug user, I do have folks come in and they just kind of look at me and they're like, what are you doing here? Why do you want to do this? Like, you've never done this thing. And I'm like, I just care. I give a shit about the health of my community, and I want to help you and support you, and you are who you are, and you're no different than me, because you're a fucking person, and I've had my fair share of troubles. They might be different than yours, but let's relate on whatever we can relate on. And for people to trust me and to want to talk to me and to want to keep coming back, even though I might not be exactly the same, they still come back. Because they see me as an ally and an advocate and someone who isn't going to judge them and stigmatize them. So even though you may think you're different, you always can find something to relate on. And just being open and non-stigmatizing is going to do wonders for someone who's so used to people just sort of judging them immediately. And it'll change their day. It really, it's a simple thing.
So since we're talking about drug use, let's talk about mine. Since it's some big hysterical bullshit topic all over these lame-ass Facebook threads, which also, just a heads up, y'all are fighting a Facebook battle. We're fighting a policy war. So you go ahead and stay there, and we'll keep doing our work. So let's talk about my drug use, because there's a bunch of really weird information out there that has never come from my mouth. So this is what it is. I have never been an injection drug user, but there have been periods, long periods of my life, where I have had massive chaotic bouts of drug use. Smoking was my primary method of using drugs, and I also was homeless, and I, you know, that's just life sometimes when trauma gets in the way. And what life things may or may not happen, that's a battle that that person is fighting. I had battled substance use and serious mental health in my teenage years. And then I was married at the age of 18, and that was a problem, and some things happened, and I then was divorced, and a sexual assault happened, and I then started using drugs chaotically again. And it got really out of hand. It was really the worst it had ever been. And that went on for a good 10 years. I ended up in pre-Prop 36 drug court. That did not work. FYI, let me repeat that. Pre-Prop 36 drug court did not work for me. I was repeatedly sentenced to go back to jail because I refused to do my second step because I don't believe in God, right? That was in the year 2000, before any of these other great non-religious based programs were out there. I eventually found people who loved me no matter where I was at, no matter what I was going through, who addressed my mental health issues and supported the good things in me. They were the people who encouraged me to get an education. They were the people who continued to encourage me to continue my education. And through that, my drug use has never become that chaotic again. I currently, and have for quite some time, been chaotic use free. I am under the care of a physician, and the lies and the bullshit stories about my drug use is a form of stigma. It's a way that people are trying to discredit me so that our work can be discredited, so that they can shut us down or somehow impact or impede the people that we serve. Because how dare someone who identifies as a drug user be a leader of anything and show other people how to move forward and also change a system? That's my drug use. So if anyone has a question about that or has a different statement about that, you heard it here. So if there's a different story, it's not real. And it's also not your business.
Right. Which is another thing that stigma does, is it just makes people think that they're entitled to everybody's life story and business and information just because they see that person as less than. Well, you better explain yourself to me, because there's no reason that this, that, or the other thing should be happening because you do this or you are this person. And like, this entitlement thing is just,
yeah,
it's just something else.
Isn't it? It's quite interesting. So that was pretty long, but I just felt like that was necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's also, law enforcement, right? Law enforcement is in harm's way when stigma is reinforced, because, you know, when it's reinforced on them too, because if the injection drug use community thinks that law enforcement is always going to give them citations for paraphernalia, which under California code shouldn't be happening if they're connected to an exchange, then they're not going to tell you that they have syringes on them because they're afraid of you. But if they know that everybody is following the rules, right? They tell you they have sharps, they tell you where, and they know that they're not going to get some BS citation that really is just a way to get them caught up in a no-show because you're not going to show up either. And they're not going to show up, but they're going to be the ones that get the warrant for not showing up on a bogus charge, right? So law enforcement is negatively impacted when people think that law enforcement are going to cite them for things they shouldn't be cited for. When people are afraid to be honest to law enforcement about the things they have on them, they're going to throw shit on the ground, because when they see law enforcement coming, if they're going to get a BS citation for paraphernalia, which again, under California code, is legal for people to have, then they're going to throw it down. And if they're in a park, that's what's happening, right? All right, so we started a little bit about local issues when we talked about sort of law enforcement and language. We're going to talk a little bit more about local issues, because really, that's what's happening here. The reality is stigma. The narrative is syringe litter, but the reality is stigma of people experiencing mental health issues, poverty, and drug use. That's the reality. And one way that we can really illuminate this is last September, for Substance Use Awareness Month, which is in September, We were co-organizers, lead organizers, collaborators, for a very large community effort called One Community. And it was 25 plus community providers that work with people in many different aspects. We all came together during Arts Alive and we put on an event. And it was based on the idea that we are all one community and that the stigma that is being reinforced and put around is not helpful and that it's harmful. And what happened from that was a bunch of people, not even a bunch, some people decided to make a false story about our event. They said we were shooting children up. Another person said we handed their child a thing. And it was all around the idea that we had the audacity to be in public, where people are in public, because the stigma is that people who use drugs should be in gutters and in alleys and in shadows, ashamed of themselves and dying until such glorious time the Lord Jesus comes down and saves us. No, that shit don't work right. Like, One Community was there to show that we were all one community, and about five really ugly people tried to show that our community is only about love, not about love. It's about hate and bigotry. And a disgusting media station supported that and helped play and made that weird lie into a news story that went around the country. And so our community looks like bigoted asshats to a lot of people.
This news station literally published a story based on a Facebook post. That was it. There was no journalism. There was no investigation. There was an angry citizen creating a fake story on her Facebook, the local media outlet getting a hold of it and running it as an actual story. That is embarrassing.
That's embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
And y'all.
Yeah. So
they did it, not y'all that are listening. We like you, y'all that did it.
And the reality of the One Community event is that Hatcher was one organization, and I think the only organization that really focuses on people who use drugs. Everybody who was there, they provide services and resources to other marginalized populations of people who are stigmatized.
And also part of our community.
So, you know, it was anywhere from folks suffering from mental health, at-risk youth.
Domestic violence.
And there was planning that went on for months. It's not like it was just some out-of-the-blue random thing that, like, the whole community that participated decided that this was important, that they see the stigma every single day with the people that they work with and wanted to say something about it and wanted to ensure that the community knows that they support everybody and that there are services there for folks who are constantly stigmatized and looked down on and treated as less than, and that they don't believe that should happen.
Yeah, that's real.
And a tiny, tiny portion of the community just like spat back in all of these people's faces saying, fuck you and your anti-stigma work. We should be stigmatizing these people, is essentially what they said.
But let bigots run free. Blah. Anyway. All right. That was a really good explanation. We might cut out some of my rants. Because I've got a lot of them. Another way that stigma is really being reinforced and promoted is this syringe litter issue. So, yes, there is some litter. No, it's not okay. Is it how it used to be? Absolutely not. So why is the narrative so nasty and so disgusting?
And not based on data.
And not based on data or facts. And the most recent ridiculous news story about you know, one of the most dangerous things to our community and law enforcement is needle litter. That, in fact, isn't true. I would have to say one of the most dangerous things in our community is about the 35 unaccounted for guns that were stolen because they weren't kept in a gun safe at a local gun shop. So I'm going to say that, oh, and one of those guns has killed a cop, and you're, so there's no way that syringe litter is the biggest threat to law enforcement here. The data doesn't show that. Data shows that non-healthcare workers, law enforcement, needle stick injuries should be at a rate of one per 1,000 employees. So if there are more than that, then it is potentially the fault of not being diligent with practices and policies to prevent needle sticks. And instead, the narrative of the lazy, hateful drug user is being promoted, so much so that they are sticking microphones in faces of people without housing, assuming they use drugs. You know, the data just doesn't support it. And the more and more the narrative is reinforced that syringe litter is the biggest issue, that's a distraction campaign. Like, we are in a political arena of distraction campaigns. And, you know, it seems like that's coming in a combined effort from a couple of places. And all that's doing is keeping people unsafe because people aren't going to bring their shit back.
It also increases the stigma against folks who are actually trying to help. We have a designated cleanup person who gets harassed repeatedly, regularly, because he's working, going around, cleaning up the community, and business owners just assume that he is doing no good, or, you know, he's the one leaving the syringes there, or he couldn't possibly actually be employed to do this, when in fact he is. So that's that stigma, right? This person who's on a bike, who may have a backpack and is just working, cleaning up the community, is assumed to be doing wrong and is assumed to be part of the problem. The same thing, the narrative that, like, all drug users are lazy and just leave their syringes around. We have folks come in all the time who don't have kids and who say, I can't believe that there are syringes on the ground for kids to find. Like, it is absolutely horrendous, and I pick them up any opportunity I get. And those people don't get the benefit of the doubt from folks who are so absorbed in stigma. They're just seen as, you know, as less than and as contributing to the problem, when in fact they are just as outraged. And they're also, you know, they're embarrassed that they would be lumped into one thing, right? Jerks are jerks are jerks. Doesn't matter if you're homeless or housed or use drugs or don't. If you're going to be a jerk and do jerk things, then that's just because that's who you are. It has nothing to do with these other things. So no,
you can be a jerk that uses syringes, or you can be a jerk that lives in a van with a crippled crow and drinks a lot and does nasty rants on Facebook. Jerks are jerks.
So don't let the stigma.
Don't let the stigma fool you. It's not real. But needle litter is scary, right? Yeah. It is scary. We hear you. That's why we have a cleanup guy. And we also, it's important to prevent harm in your own life. So become informed, become educated, and follow the proper procedures. I'm probably going to cut a lot out of this because I am sassy as hell. Because it's stigma, and that's like the core of what has been shoved on me these past 5 years. There's been stigma about me, about my work, like, and it all relates to drug use. So, like, this, there's even been stigma about me in a professional capacity that I've had to address, right? Like, it's not okay.
I'm sorry, but if you're getting at least an award a year from everybody,
that's ridiculous.
I don't think. I don't know what people are thinking when they're like, you're not capable and how dare you be a drug user. And I think they're just jealous because you are capable and competent and somehow they think you're not supposed to be. And they're like, damn, I can't even do that. What's wrong with me?
That's really probably what it is. They see me as defective, but also successful. And they don't,
can't rationalize it because of stigma.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work for
their
narrative.
She's defective because she identified with something that we maybe identify secretly with too. And then, we're kind of talking about it now, is advocates attacked, right? So, like, the reason why I'm so sassy in this one is because this has been my life for multiple years now. And I've seen it play out systematically. I've seen it play out healthcare-wise, law-wise, with our, all of those with our consumers. I've seen it play out in my life. It's just insane at the level. I've been doxxed a weak-ass attempt at doxing, but still, it's a small town. So when jackasses put your address with a call for some type of action to happen, that is illegal. You are not entitled to my personal life. So all of you that get all your feathers ruffled because you were told you're not allowed to do that, so what, dude? You're not entitled to my life.
No. It doesn't matter if it's a Google search away, right? That's people's defenses. Well, don't you know you can just Google someone's information? Yeah, sure. And then difference is that when you post it in a public forum and, like Brandy said, you call for action to be done, that's the difference. Sure, I can Google anybody and anything all day.
I do.
But when I put it up somewhere and say, here's this person that we all fucking hate, go and do something about it.
That's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trust me, I Google people all day, but I don't put it up, right? Because it's not right. And it's interesting, right? We have so many things going on in our community that we also have this weird, loop of Facebook media that is just stuck on syringe litter, which isn't the most dangerous thing in our community and isn't the most pressing issue in our community. It was a huge problem, yes, and we have all worked really hard to address it. And so the idea that our media isn't keeping people informed or following up on things that are real in our community and that carry a lot of weight and things we should be talking about further, they're so distracted and keeping people distracted, a very Trumpian approach to syringe litter, that we're not talking about the aquaculture facility. We're not talking about the trail. We're not talking about housing,
Hit and runs. Can we talk about some damn hit and runs? Multiples in one day. Every day on our local news, there's another hit and run.
Suicides. Like, why aren't we repeatedly talking about the real issues that are also data informed? Like, it shows that these are the things that are killing our community. But we talk about litter. Is it because it's easiest? It's an easy grab.
It's a tangible thing to point at, right?
Clickbait. I mean, you get paid per click, and our name gets a good click. So that's how you keep your job. We get it, sweetie. Okay. After all that ranting and all the problems we're talking about, what I like to do is then create massive ways to create change because the problems suck. So we like to create change.
There is a light at the end of this tunnel. Rainbows and unicorns there.
There is. I know I'm cynical and cranky, but it's all out of love for some. So now we're going to talk about how to create change without stigma. And
people first language, man. That's like the easiest thing that you can start doing. I'll be honest, long before I started working at Hatcher and knew much about harm reduction. I would go along with the giggles and the laughs, making fun of quote-unquote tweakers or your tweaka or whatever. And it was shitty. I can't believe I was that human because I tend to consider myself, you know, kind and compassionate. And I was. I didn't fucking know. I didn't know about stigma. I didn't know the harm that those words cause. And it was sort of the same when people started learning more about pronouns and other language that folks prefer to and deserve to be called by, right? There's a movement for language changing, and there's, again, more research and data, psychology, that shows when we use, like, our language matters. The words that we use absolutely matter. So, ditch the crappy stigmatizing language, tweaker, drug addict, junkie, people who use drugs, people with mental health issues, people with substance use, people who use drugs. There's just all sorts of ways that you can talk. And if you hear someone making fun of other folks who are experiencing those things, I know it can be hard. I still struggle sometimes in certain circles, and it makes me uncomfortable, and then I just sort of go into this bitter silence. but, you know, you can just be like, hey, like, there are better words for that. You know, I acknowledge your experiences, but maybe we can work on not using those words.
I like to ask, what does that mean?
Well, that's, yeah.
And then I just keep asking, and I'm like, well... So I go for the annoying approach of, I want you to explain to me why you're a jackass right now. It tends to work really well because people about two questions in realize that they're explaining why they're an asshole. And that's the thing. You know, Jessica just explained her evolution in thought. And everybody can do that. And everybody is allowed that space, right? And so even the people that hate us, if ever you realize you're wrong, we forgive you. like, your fear isn't wrong. Your lies are wrong. Mm-hmm. Your fears will validate that all day. You're afraid of that, and we understand. And we do a lot of things. We've actually done everything almost everyone's asked, which is insane because everyone's like, I don't know anything. We've done everything almost, except for clothes. And we're not going to do
that's
that.
That's not going to happen.
Right? And so that's one of the ways that we combat stigma about us is we continue to stand up for our work and our rights and what the truth is. And the truth is that we've done almost everything everyone's asked, and a lot of it gets overlooked because we are publicly stating many times that we are people who use drugs. So a lot of time our good stuff just gets thrown out the window. So standing up in the face of lies and misinformation and, you know, just being ready to not let it slide anymore. And that's how we make change. It's not easy. But if we all do little things, you know, we're not asking people to go and hold a rally. That's our job. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool if you show up when we do. Big fan of that. Like, that's the other thing is there's so many people that come out and support us during those times where we are combating stigma that we know that the majority of people in this community understand and know and are willing to engage in those conversations to learn more or to voice their concerns with us. Because, you know, we've said it a number of times, if you're yelling at us, we don't really hear you.
No, it's not a good way to start a conversation.
It doesn't start a conversation. And it starts a battle.
Right.
Which is where we've been for 3 years.
And this last election really does show that the majority of folks in this community believe in people and want a better life for everyone in this community. Because the folks who won that election, that was their platform. Let's make life good and healthy and safe for everyone.
And it wasn't just a slight win.
No.
It was a very loud message. And the idea that people are saying, we're the majority still. You're not. Right? Mm-hmm. You're not. So come on, let's be community members and have conversations. And when you're just saying nasty shit and lying about us, It's not how we have conversations. So that's like our last bullet point, which is like, stay diligent and unwavering in your path of addressing stigma, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're in a workplace situation and you can't address, you know, people saying certain things, you can just start using the words people who use drugs when you talk about what you would have formerly called addicts. Just start saying people who use drugs, because language is contagious. Mm-hmm. And it's just those small changes in small spaces if you can't do big ones.
And if you're able on a bigger scale, if you're, you know, diligent and able to look into policy, and, you know, get really political about it, if there's, you know, a local ordinance that comes up, or a state level or even federal level bill or law or whatever that you can see directly is rooted in stigma and that is actually not going to be helpful to a community that generally experiences stigma, speak out against that. We often send action alerts when there's something going on politically that we need folks to write letters about.
Or call.
So if that's in your capacity, that's like big systems level change, right? We do a lot of on the ground work, but we also do a lot of policy work. So if that's something you're interested in and capable of doing and feel comfortable doing, supporting good legislation and not supporting the bad ones, like some of the local ordinances that we have, voting those out, that's a great way to beat back stigma.
Yeah. Okay, so that about wraps up our lovely stigma podcast.
Thanks for sticking with it. It was a good one. So we are going to talk a little bit about some upcoming events. Our closest one is next Sunday, June 2nd. Is that the real date? Yes, June 2nd. We are having a rummage sale / bake sale at Hatcher. We are accepting donations. This fundraiser is going to help us get to upcoming
National Harm Reduction Conference.
My brain just said, I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
It's in Puerto Rico in next, like, September, October, and so it's going to take a substantial amount of fundraising, but these conferences are critical. It's where we meet and engage with other leaders from around the country. We learn new methods. We learn and engage with the top researchers. It's just really where we need to be to know the things we need to know.
Exactly. And it provides us an opportunity to bring our peers and to bring people who use drugs and center their voices, just like we do at home. So it's a fantastic opportunity for folks who are just getting started in the movement or just starting with this work to learn more and engage with other people doing the work, because it can be isolating. It's some hard work that harm reductionists do. So it's really important for us to be able to get together, share the knowledge, and just share the, like, holy shit, is it hard there? Yeah, it's hard here. So yes. And so on that note, we will also be having maybe a couple car washes this summer. Stay tuned for more dates, but that'll be another fundraising thing. After June 15th, I will be the official executive director of Hatcher. So stay tuned for all of that. I will love to host some open houses in the fall for city leaders and electeds and also the community, so y'all can see what Hatcher is about. Any other important things?
Events? No, I think that's fantastic, and I'm really excited to watch what you do.
Oh, Overdose Awareness Day. It's a little ways off. It's August 31st, but every year we celebrate that day. And
we acknowledge that day.
We acknowledge, yes. It is a celebration of life. It is a remembrance of those who have passed on, but it does also acknowledge and celebrate the work that folks have done.
That make the many of the people there still there, yeah.
Exactly.
Like many, yeah, you're right.
People
many.
Who use drugs are at the forefront of overdose reversals and prevention. So it really is celebrating the work that they do to make sure that their friends stay alive.
Yeah. And the people that are there that wouldn't be alive, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. There's exactly. many people who come to that who only can because their friends save their life.
Exactly.
So, I think that wraps it up, but as always, I want to tell you about our lovely in-part sponsor of Hashtag Facts Matter, and we are in part funded by the Syringe Access Fund, a funding collaborative of AIDS United, Elton John AIDS Foundation, the H. Van Marigen Foundation, the Levi Strauss Foundation, and the Open Societies Foundation. That's pretty exciting, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna say. We'll be right back.